Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everybody. Good morning and Happy New Year. So those who have not had the chance to say that to you so far, here we are. It's 2021. It's a new year. Many people, I don't know about you, but many people see the new year as a time to like reevaluate life, reevaluate your life and to make a fresh start, you know, to refocus on the things that really matter and to reestablish good habits instead of bad ones, to sort of refocus your life and make a new start. It's a time for change. And actually, I've got on my wrist now my very own Fitbit, which I've acquired to try and get my 10,000 steps every day and to monitor all kinds of things. That's my gesture towards New Year's resolutions. You know, it's tempting, at least I find it very tempting, to be cynical when people talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but me, it's always like, oh, they're just a fad. You know, people will, they'll never keep it up. They'll forget about it. What's the point? You know, that's certainly the approach I've had up to now in regards to New Year's resolutions over the years. But not this year. Not this year. Because this year I've been doing some thinking. I know that's a dangerous thing. You don't want to hear me saying that, but I have been doing some thinking. And it seems to me that New Year's resolutions are a good thing, that there's something inherently Christian about New Year's resolutions. Because the Christian life is all about change, right? That's what it's about. It's about recognizing that our lives, that my life, is not all that it should be, that I fall short in so many ways. But it doesn't have to be that way, because God calls us to something better, something far better. And if we respond to his call, he will lead us into his good and perfect plans for us. And he'll change us from the inside out. So that bit by bit, we will become the people that he wants us to be, that I will be the person that God wants me to be, and that you will be the person that God wants you to be, and that together we will be the church that God wants us to be. And it's amazing, isn't it, that God would do that despite all our flaws and imperfections, that God would come down to be among us, to enter into our mess and to enter into our lives in order to transform us so that we become the people that he wants us to be, and we fulfill those good and perfect plans that he has for our lives. And that's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? It's God's invitation to us, in fact, to all people, to reorientate our lives and learn how to walk in step with him, with his good and perfect plan for us. And that plan, there's going to be a slide on coming on in a minute, but that plan is for us to be blessed. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be blessed, to enjoy his favor, and to be a blessing to others. He wants us to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. You know, that's been God's desire for us, for humanity, from the very beginning. You know, God created us, didn't he, to be in relationship with him, to walk with him, knowing his love and his goodness. But then Adam and Eve, those representatives of humanity, the first representatives of humanity, rebelled against him. And everything changed. Instead of walking with God, they hid from him because they were ashamed. And God called out to them, "Where are you? Where are you?" And that's a question that has echoed through the generations since then. God calling out to his wayward people, "Where are you?" Why? Because God wants us to walk with him. And you know, the whole of the Bible tells the story of how God has made that possible. And it all began with a man named Abram, or Abram, as we've just heard in the readings this morning. And that reading was taken from Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible. So we're going right back to almost the beginning of God's dealings with humanity. Now, we don't know much about Abraham prior to this point. Okay, it doesn't really tell us very much in Genesis about him up to this point. It seems, though, that he was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't a king or anyone particularly religious or holy, so far as we can tell. In fact, if you carry on reading to the end of this chapter 12, you'll see that he was anything but holy. Abraham was a man who made terrible mistakes. He was as messed up as the rest of us. But God had a plan for his life, an amazing plan. And we read in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, just put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment, okay? Imagine you're 75 years old. I mean, some of you actually are 75 years old. A number of you are above that. There are lots of you who are nowhere near that, okay? But just imagine for the time being, okay, you're 75 years old. You've got a comfortable life. You're living amongst your own people. You've got a beautiful wife. You're fairly well off. You know, you've got people working for you. And life is good. Life is comfortable. But then suddenly, God says to you, okay, now you've got to go. Oh, and take your family and your workers with you, all of you. I'm not going to tell you where just yet. Just go, and I'll show you where in due course. What? You're kidding me, right? Just go. And God says, yeah, just go. I'll show you. What would you do in that situation? I know some people who've sensed God saying something similar to them, and they've acted in obedience, you know, Jackie Pullinger being one of them. If you've not heard of Jackie Pullinger's story, it's well worth looking her up. She felt God say to her, just get on a ship and go, and I'll tell you where to get off. And she did, and she ended up going to Hong Kong, getting off at Hong Kong, but that's where God told her to get off, and established an amazing ministry amongst drug addicts and gangsters in the walled city, the most dangerous part of Hong Kong, where she stayed for decades and saw many, many people set free, healed and released into ministry themselves, transformed that part of the city. But I think she's probably in a minority. I'm not sure, you know, that I would necessarily have the faith to respond in that way. But Abraham did. He went. And with the benefit of hindsight now, all these thousands of years later, we know that through Abraham's trust in God and his obedience to God's call, God fulfilled his promise. God fulfilled his promise. He made Abraham's descendants into a great nation. He blessed them, and they became a blessing to the whole world, because it was into that nation, those descendants of Abraham, who later was renamed Abraham by God, which means father of a great nation or father of many nations, into that nation came Jesus, God's own son. Jesus, the Son of God, was born into that nation, which was the descendants of Abraham. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made a way for not just the nation of Israel, but all people everywhere to come into a relationship with God forever. And so through Abraham's act of trust, God blessed the entire world. But, you know, at the time when Abraham went, he didn't know any of that. He didn't know how God was going to use him to fulfill his promises. He just trusted that God would. And so he stepped out in faith and in obedience to God's call. And so my question to you this morning and to myself is, are you willing to do that? You see, when God promised to bless Abraham in order that he might be a blessing, that wasn't just a promise for Abraham. And it wasn't just a promise for the nation of Israel that his descendants were to become. No, it was a promise which pointed forward to the coming of Jesus and to the people who would be brought into God's family as a result of Jesus' death and his resurrection. In other words, this was a promise for us. God's desire is to bless us. God's desire is to bless you and to bless me. In fact, he already has. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you hear that? We have already been blessed. We've already received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because in him, we have been freed. We have freedom from the powers of darkness that hold the world captive. That's what redemption means. Redemption through his blood. We've been set free from those powers of darkness and from the power of sin in our lives. Our sins have been forgiven. We have forgiveness of sins and joy of all joys. We have been adopted into God's family. He chose us. He chose us. He chose you. He chose me. We had no reason to be chosen, and yet he chose us in love to be adopted into his family through Jesus Christ. Wow, what a blessing. It is impossible to be more blessed than we have already been. You know, and having been adopted into God's family, we've joined the family business. You know, we are blessed to be a blessing, to extend the same love, the same mercy that we've received to our friends, to our neighbors, even to our enemies. What an incredible privilege that is. Think about it. We get to spend our lives receiving blessing upon blessing from God, and then being equipped and enabled and sent out to share that amazing love that God has lavished upon us with others so that they can step into that blessing too, so that they can experience that overwhelming, all-consuming love of God for themselves. And I don't know about you, but my New Year's resolution this year is to be all about that. I want my life to be about that, about being blessed in order to be a blessing out in the world, to be a blessing to the people that God has put me alongside, and for those people whom I'm going to encounter this year, whom God is going to bring to me to put in my path. I want that so desperately for me. That's what I want my life this year to be about. But I want it for us as well as church. I want 2021 to be the year when we really reach out into our neighborhoods and our workplaces or wherever your front line is, so that many, many, many others will experience even just something of God's incredible love for them, so that they might be drawn into his family too. Don't you want the same? Don't you want the same? And maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, I do, but how can I do that? I know that's what I want to do, but how do I do it? What does it look like to be a blessing, to bless other people? Well, if that's the question you're asking, I've got great news for you, because over the next 5 weeks, we're going to explore that together. Okay, this is the start of a new series, new teaching series, and using the acronym BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, as a really practical and easy to remember way of putting into practice what we're talking about this morning. You know, I came across this model, this BLESS model, at a church multiplication conference I went to online back in the autumn. And there's a guy called Dave Ferguson who talked us through it. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe how powerful this is. And it's not as if it's rocket science. There's nothing that I'm going to say over the next 5 weeks, probably, which you've never, ever heard before or never even thought of. It's the sort of stuff that we should be doing as church, and yet we so often forget. And so these next 5 weeks are about reminding ourselves, and maybe discovering some new stuff as well, about how we are to be a blessing and to share the blessing that we've received with our neighborhoods, with people in our neighbors, our workmates, our friends, the people we encounter in our day-to-day life on our front lines. It's really simple and clear. Five easy to remember steps to becoming people who live out our calling to be blessed and to be a blessing. Five steps that are going to be at the heart of what we're about as church this year. And I hope will be at the heart of what we're about as church for years and years and years to come. And I'm so excited about this. I'm genuinely really excited about this, because if we put these five simple steps into practice, it's going to revolutionize our relationship with God. It's going to revolutionize everything. It's going to draw us deeper into a relationship with him. And it's going to revolutionize our effectiveness in sharing his love with others. And so I want to encourage you, make sure you join with us next week, because I'm going to be revealing the first step, okay? And I'm going to give you a clue. It starts with a B, okay? Don't be guessing now, okay? All will be revealed next week. But as I wrap up, I just want to leave you with something to ponder. And it's this. God called Abram because he had a plan for his life. Okay, that's why God called Abram. But that plan required Abram to respond, didn't it? Abram couldn't just stay where he was in his comfortable life. He had to step out in faith and go in obedience to God's call. He had to leave behind everything he knew. He had to step out of his comfort zone and into the unknown. He had to be open to new possibilities, a life of adventure, a life trusting that God knew what he was doing and that God could be trusted, that when he says go, you can go and know that God is in control and God will lead you and direct you. And that is what Abraham did. And of course, we know how the story ends because we're the beneficiaries of his act of obedience. And so my challenge to you this morning and to myself is this. Will you be open to the new possibilities and the life of adventure that God has for you? Will you be open to that? And whether you're 8, 9, or 89, are you prepared to step out of your comfort zone and say yes to whatever God has for you? Are you ready to be blessed, to receive all the blessing that God wants to pour into your life, and then to take that blessing and share it with others? And you know, for that to happen, for us to be ready to do that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to lay down our lives, as we already have done this morning, before God. Give him everything we've got, to put our trust only in Jesus and his love for us, his death and his resurrection and his ascension, and then be open to receive everything that the Holy Spirit wants to pour into our lives so that we may be equipped to respond in obedience, to go wherever God calls us, to do whatever he calls us, in order that others may experience the immense blessing that we have already received. So let's pray. That's what we need to do. Let's pray now. Let's ask God to fill us with his Spirit. And then let's be willing to move in obedience to his call. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that once we were separated from you, but yet you came to rescue us and brought us near. Thank you that you've come into our lives, that you now live in us, and you long to fill us, you long for us to grow in our knowledge and love of you, and to become the people that you want us to be. And so, Lord, this morning, We lay down our lives before you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us because we need you. We want, Lord, so desperately to be the people that you've called us to be. But we need you. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord, to equip us, empower us, and anoint us that we may walk in freedom and be a blessing to those around us. So, Holy Spirit, we consecrate our lives to you now. And we say, Lord, have your way. And speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.